Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word which we read together, and let Jeremiah chapter 8, and let us consider verse 22, the last verse of Jeremiah 8. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Well, whatever physical diseases the people of Gilead in particular, or even from further away, Gilead being on the east side of the River Jordan, whatever diseases they had, whatever health problems they had, there was a balm in Gilead, an ointment that was plentiful there. And there were healers. Those with some skill in applying that balm. And I'm sure the balm wouldn't have been effective for many a disease, but if somebody was ill or had some trouble that the balm was helpful for, then why should he go on day after day and year after year with this issue, this health issue? When there was time, when there were means available so that the patient might get a recovery. There was medicine. There were those who could apply that medicine. When these facilities were available, so to speak, why should anyone go on in suffering from these ailments that the medicine would help them with? And there's plenty in this chapter, for instance, that speaks of spiritual issues. Issues affecting spiritual health are symptoms of spiritual disease. It's not necessarily to Gilead we would go for help in that case, but it's a picture. The Lord has provided healing for sin-sick souls. And there's the great physician on the throne of heaven, the great doctor, as we would put it in today's terms. Physician is understandable enough, but it's a rather specialized word. It's not what we would tend to talk about and from day to day. But you see, Christ is the great physician. And repeating the question in these terms, in spiritual terms, you see, the question is there nothing to supply the need of sinners who are spiritually diseased? We had that in Psalm 38, the disease that loathsome is, it fills my loins with pain, David was saying. But there's a remedy, and there's one who can apply the remedy. Why then should we go on from day to day and year to year with that spiritual disease? How is it with yourself? We all began life with a spiritual disease, and no doubt it has been getting worse unless we have been to the physician. And let me ask you, have you been to the physician? Have you been to Christ? Have you looked to him? Have you asked for his healing medicines? Have you asked for him to apply to your soul the balm of Gilead? Yes, the balm of Gilead. Have you? That's a question for us all to address. If I was to ask, have you got a spiritual disease? Do you need the attention of the great physician? It shouldn't need any thought to answer that question. The answer, perfectly obviously, is yes, sadly, yes. There's that disease that the psalmist complained about. He knew he had it. And that's a start on the way of recovery. To know that we have a disease and that it's a loathsome disease and that it's a serious disease. And there's no one that can heal that disease apart from Christ. He can do everything that is necessary to heal sinners. Oh, let us go to him. No need to make an appointment. No need to wait for weeks, it might be, for an appointment with Christ. He can treat many patients at once. He could take to do with the spiritual needs of every sinner in this world, all the billions of them. He could treat them all at once. Oh, may we go to him. You see, the people in Christ's time in this world, Bartimaeus, for instance, and many another one, and they were crying out to the Saviour, heal me. Whatever it was that was wrong with him, heal me. They weren't too particular about etiquette or anything like that. The people around them might be saying, don't disturb this great person. That wasn't his view of the matter, and it isn't now. He wants sinners to cry out. Oh, cry out in the depths of your souls. Cry out from the depths of the souls. He hears sinners. He wants to hear sinners. Can we not say that? The Savior wants to hear sinners crying out for mercy. Well, we have three things here this evening. And first is to say something about the health needs of Israel. The daughter of my people, that was Israel. Or perhaps it was down to Judah. Israel, having gone into captivity, those that were spared of them. No doubt many perished in the Assyrian invasion. But those that Jeremiah was sent to minister to, they had serious spiritual health issues. Let us try and think of that first. Second, there was medicine available. There was a physician who could help. And then the question, when that is so, why then is not the health of the daughter of God's people recovered? Why? We'll try and answer that question. First, there is the spiritual diseases that were afflicted those to whom Jeremiah was sent. Second, there was the remedy. There was the provision. There was balm. Spiritual balm, of course. Spiritual ointment. And there was the great physician. And in the third place, what was wrong when people weren't recovered from the diseases? What was wrong? What is wrong? You see, we're trying to make a spiritual application of all this. Trying to. But the Lord is able. You see, it's this great physician that we need to come where we are to apply the truth, to work in our souls, to give his Holy Spirit to work. That's what we need. Are you asking for that? If you have some sense of your spiritual need, are you asking? Are you asking in prayer that the Lord would come and bless your soul, that the Lord would come and heal your diseases, that the great physician would come just where you are in your need. You see, it sounds like in Jeremiah's time there was this one remedy. And perhaps we can say that spiritually speaking it's one remedy. But when we're thinking about the remedies for human for physical diseases or whatever kind of troubles, medical troubles that people might have, there's a whole range of drugs that can be at least tried out. There's a whole range of drugs that would be effective in healing sinners, in healing human beings. Well, the thing about the provision that Christ has made is that it applies to spiritual disease, whatever particular way it is recognized. Whatever particular symptoms we might pick out, this remedy that Christ has provided, the great physician, this remedy that he has provided is suitable for the needs of every sinner. It's not that we are to go to self-appointed spiritual healer. Somebody who could be take to do with my sins, if they're of a particular kind, and then if the obvious sins were somewhat different, we'd go to someone else, or perhaps to a third person, and so on. Indefinitely, no doubt. But the great physician on the throne of glory is able to heal us, whatever particular aspects there are to our particular sin. Well, first of all, the disease. The disease. Yes. They were sinners. And we could go through all the various statements made by through Jeremiah, God speaking through Jeremiah to his people, those whom he had chosen to be his people outwardly, and they were accused of various sins, and they were being called to amend their ways. You have that at the beginning of chapter 7, verse 3. Amend your ways and your doings, and it will cause you to dwell in this place. They were in danger of being sent away into captivity. But if they would amend their ways and their doings, if they would repent, if they would begin to live in a different way, then they could remain in their land. They wouldn't be sent away. If you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after the other gods to your heart, then I will cause you to dwell in this place. You see, there were all these various sins, oppression, murder, and idolatry, the worship of false gods. And then in verse 9, there's stealing, murder, adultery, swearing falsely, burning incense to Baal, walking after other gods that they did not know, gods that had no existence. Now, whatever it is, and whatever our sins are, the fact that we have sins, and not least, the sins of the heart, and you see, there was Baal, there were these various gods, but we're liable to have our own gods. We're liable to make a god of ourselves. Who is it that we love most? Who is it that we would want most to please? Is it ourselves? Is it a husband or a wife? Is it children? Is it close friends? Is it somebody that we respect? Or is it God? Well, you see, all these alternatives, apart from the last, they represent idolatry. You see, one can look at the Ten Commandments and take them with their surface meaning or their surface application. But you see, what we are to do is to think of heart sin above everything else. Yes, let us go round all the outward sins that we commit or have been committing. But we're not finished when we've come to an end of that, if we can come to an end of that. There's all the sins of the heart. What about that? What about our heart sin? Have we gone to the Lord without heart sin and asked for healing? Yes. Now you see, you can put it another way. As the Lord accuses Israel through Jeremiah in these terms, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's Jeremiah 2. Is that what we're about? Certainly what this generation is about. I hesitate to say that it's this generation that has forsaken the Lord. Some no doubt have, but it's been going on for generations. But you see, the present generation is saying, we're happy to live without God. We don't want God. We don't want. Yes. Now, it's not always so easy to get away from God. There was somebody, perhaps in the 19th century, very likely, who was a coachman. He drove a coach and horses. And his mother was forever speaking to him about his soul, and he didn't like it. He wanted to get away from her, and he wanted to get away from God. And he got a position up in the Highlands somewhere. And then his employer started to speak to him about his soul. And it was blessed to him. But you see, it's not always so easy to get away from God. And we shouldn't want. This going after a false God, and likely for that young man, the God he was wanting to follow was himself, to get the happiest possible way through life apart from God. Now the Lord in great, great mercy stopped. Heard his mother's prayer and stopped. Now he was following a very dangerous course in trying to get away from God. Spiritual disease left him in a very bad way. But the Lord had mercy. The Lord was able to take pity on him, and did take pity on him. Ah, that the Lord would take pity on us. And if the Lord has had mercy on you and brought you to himself and brought you to seek for salvation, for spiritual healing from the great physician, what a mercy, what reason for thankfulness. Yes, what reason to praise God. But you see, there's the living water. There's the source of blessing, especially of spiritual blessing. And the Lord says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have forsaken me. They have hewn out for themselves broken cisterns. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. What's to go into the cistern? Well, very likely entertainment, worldly success, whatever it might be. But these cisterns don't hold water. The water leaks out, the happiness that is sought, it leaks away, they're left unhappy. when the event is over, whatever entertainment event people might go to or watch on some screen in their own home. They might enjoy it. They might say they enjoyed it. But does it last? It's a broken cistern they were trying to fill. And broken cisterns cannot hold water. And the figurative cisterns that Jeremiah or the Lord through Jeremiah was speaking about, they don't hold water. And if there's a few drops that remain in them throughout a person's life, the cistern will be completely emptied when that soul enters a lost eternity. You see, what we need is that we will go to Christ. There's the fountain of living water. The fountain of living water. How thankful the people of God will be when they enter heaven, when they come to the banks of that river of living water that flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. How thankful they will be to get there, but how thankful they will be to have sought a drink from that fountain of living water. Christ is the source of all blessing. You see, we're speaking already today about blessed. Blessed is the man who is the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Blessings. Where did that help come from? Where did that hope spring from? It comes from the fountain of living waters, and especially the saving blessings that are poured out upon a sinner. The saving blessings. Oh, what a great matter saving blessings are. What can we do without them? Look at it. Look at the situation. Take a look from a proper perspective. You can look from a worldly perspective and shut out, or at least you can try to shut out all serious thoughts of eternity and a lost eternity. But you see, we need to take in a lost eternity in our thoughts about the future. If we have not found Christ, if we have not found spiritual healing, if we have not found the great physician, then we need Christ. We need salvation through him. We need him who came into the world to save sinners, who can heal our spiritual disease. Yes, he can. He can. Oh, may we be going to him. May we cry out for him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There was that man. He had a spiritual disease and he knew it and he knew where to go, but we'll not explore that just yet. You see how plainly it is put in chapter 2 of this book again. It is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee. The sinners of Jeremiah's time had forsaken the Lord. They did not fear him. They did not respect his authority. They did not respect his commandments. They just went on in their own ways. Are you taking the Bible as the guide for your life? And if you're not, that's just another evidence of spiritual disease, another symptom of spiritual disease. You see, if something is wrong with a person and it doesn't clear up fairly quickly, friends might say to that person, "Have you been to the doctor? Have you seen the doctor? It's serious." Well, that's what we should be saying. And that's what the Lord is saying to those who have this spiritual disease. They have a hard heart. They have an unbelieving heart. There's rebellion in their hearts against God. These are all symptoms of spiritual disease. And people need to get a cure. And there's no cure to be had outside of Christ. Or if you like, through the work of the Holy Spirit for the sake of God, for the sake of Christ, whom God sent. Yes. But we need to go to the doctor. Yes, we need to cry, as I've just quoted. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, we are warned of the need to be born again. But perhaps it will come to that again. We've hard, rebellious hearts by nature. Unless the great physician has softened our hearts. You see, we're told at verse 6, no man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course. That's away from God. They turned to his course as the horse rushes into the battle, quite heedless of the danger that the horse is in. He doesn't understand these things. He goes on madly, as spurred on by the rider maybe. Well, we need repentance. We need a new heart. You see, we're in a bad way. We need to be put right. And the Lord is saying to us, I speak unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. They did not listen. Are we listening to the word of God? God is speaking earnestly. That's what's been pointed to by rising up early. It's when people have something important to do and they need to get it done. They need the whole day to do it, perhaps. They get up early. They set the alarm for significantly earlier than they usually would. They've got work to do. We have work to do. We're to seek the Lord. We're to turn from our sins. Now, I'm not saying, given our spiritual disease, given our inability to turn to the Lord, that we are able to do these things in a way pleasing to God. That's not the point of the command. But the Lord is commanding us to do these things so that we would feel how much we need the work of God, the work of Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot put ourselves right, and yet we're being called on to believe. We're called on to repent. We're called on to seek the Lord. Yes. And can we? Ah, well, the Lord hears the sinner crying out for mercy. The Lord hears the word. How often has the Lord heard sinners crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what did the Lord do? He showed them mercy. He brought them to himself. Christ came as a great physician, and he healed their souls. What a disease. How obvious it was in the woman of Samaria. And Christ came where she was, and he healed her. Now, I'm not saying that that woman asked for mercy. She would have had many a petition later on. But what I'm saying is, the great physician came where she was in her need, and he healed her. Yes. Oh, how worthwhile it is to be crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord hears sin-sick souls. Yes. And yet, you see, If we go back to verse 23 in the previous chapter, this thing commanded I then, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearken not, or not inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. You see the danger that sinners are in. Going backward, going farther away from God, refusing to hear the gracious appeals that God makes. What's at the bottom of it? What's wrong? What's the fundamental point about the spiritual disease that sinners have? It's this: the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What's wrong? What's wrong with the unbelieving sinner? It's a heart disease. And I'm sure there's many a time that a cardiac specialist will say to, or even a GP will say to a patient, you've got this wrong, and this symptom and that symptom. But the fundamental thing is, there's a problem with your heart. And that's how it is with the Lord and sinners. Whatever particular sins there might be, the Lord is saying, there's a problem with your heart. You've got heart disease, spiritual heart disease. You need a fundamental change. You need to be born again. Yes. Have we realized that? Have you begun to ask, turn thou me, and I shall be turned? Yes. And I'm sure there have been people who have spoken in that way. And there was, perhaps you would say, just a grain of faith brought in the soul as they finished that petition. And I shall be turned. You see, a spiritual perception by the grace of God that not only was it that they needed to be turned, believing the word of God to that extent, and believing the testimony of their own lives and their own hearts. But you see, the beginning of an apprehension of what God can do, beginning to grasp what God can do, and I shall be turned. A blessed beginning of faith in Jesus Christ. But let us come to this, the provision, and perhaps I've been going ahead of myself in some ways, but still, the Lord is there as the great physician, the Lord Jesus, exalted, a prince and a savior, to give repentance and forgiveness of sins, to give repentance, to give all that is necessary in the way of spiritual healing. To do all that is necessary for the salvation of sinners. Yeah. There was balm in Gilead. Apparently it had been known as far back as the time of Joseph. And there were a good number of physicians who knew how to apply and when to apply, no doubt, the healing balm. Yes. But what we have to point to is this. Christ is on the throne. Christ is ruling over everything. And Christ is the great healer. Christ is the great physician of sinners who are sick at heart, whose heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And yet, the Lord was saying of Israel, it's in chapter 30. Thy bruise is incurable. Whatever particular sin or sinful course, it was being referred to there. but they had no healing medicines. They needed to go, so to speak, away from themselves to get a healing medicine. We'll not find the healing medicine in our own pockets, or in our own minds, or in our own hearts. If we're left to ourselves, there are no healing medicines. We need to go to the great physician. We need to go to him who came into the world to save sinners, who, as we sang in Psalm 103, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You see, what picture have we got drawn for us there? It's this: God, Christ, is the one who is able to heal all our diseases. He's the great physician. And my mind goes back to the illustration that was used. I heard it referred to recently, but I've seen it in at least one of the Erskines, Ralph and Ebenezer Erskine, and in Thomas Boston, about an army or a regiment. And there's a surgeon appointed for the regiment. He's appointed for everyone in the regiment. And there's a soldier wounded in battle. And what is he to do? Where does he go to get someone to attend to him? Or if he's not able to go himself, to get somebody to fetch a surgeon? Well, there's a surgeon appointed. He doesn't need to think about who can be called on. And that's how it is with the great physician. He's appointed for sinners everywhere. What is a sinner to do who says, I need a physician, a spiritual physician? I need someone who will heal my diseases. I need someone to put me right. I need to be born again. Who can I call on to give me that blessing? You see, it's the one who has been appointed. And the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And if it's troubling you this evening, what can I do? Who can I go to? Who can I go to? I've got a sin-sick soul. I need to be born again. I need to be turned from my own ways to serve the living God. I need spiritual help. Who will I go to? Well, whatever help you might ask from a fellow creature in this world, the ultimate one you have to go to is the great physician. But can I go to the great physician? What right have I to go to the great physician? Well, I'll tell you. I've told you already, in effect. It's the one who has been appointed to be the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Take that with you. And even if you do not feel your need of that just now, you might feel your need of it sometime in the future. Christ has been appointed to be the Savior of the world. You see, it's not that in the army, in a regiment, who have had wounded soldiers, it's not that the surgeon could come to them all at once. Though Christ can come to everyone at once. But what I'm getting at is this, that there was a surgeon appointed. Christ has been appointed. You see, you might be in a foreign country. I mean, you might say, can I go to this doctor? I see a plate on that door, and it tells me that there's a doctor here. But I don't know the language. I don't know everything that it's saying. Can I go to this doctor? Well, as far as our souls are concerned, we don't need to ask that kind of question. Christ has been appointed. go to him. Cry out. Bartimaeus and other blind men and other people with various diseases, they had got some sense of this, that Jesus of Nazareth was able and willing to heal them from their blindness, whatever it might be. Yes, you go to Christ to get spiritual healing. Will he take me? He's been appointed by the Father to be the Savior of the world, Savior of people everywhere. That's what it's pointed to. Go to Christ. Do not go about asking, will he have me? Do not go about asking, am I elected? That's not a question for just now. It's this. You need the provision that has been made, the appointment of Christ to be the great physician, the appointment by God the Father. Yes, appointed for sinners throughout the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever will believe in him, that's the call of the gospel. That's what you are called to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his commandment, you read in 1 John 3, that you should believe in the name of his only begotten Son. This is God's commandment to you, that you should believe in Christ. Oh, come then, sinner. Look to him, trust him. He is able to save to the uttermost. He is going on making intercession. He is always able to make intercession for sinners. He is always able to save. You see, there is such value in the work of Christ. Such value in what Christ did for sinners. Yes. And here the physician coming to invite sinners. It's not that Christ is far away. In a sense, there is a great distance between Christ and sinners. But there's this, that Christ is coming to where the gospel is preached, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Then am I in the midst. You see? Christ is here. His ear is open. And one thing he is saying is this. Though it seems to be in the words of the, perhaps we could say, the Church of God, come and let us return unto the Lord, and he will heal us. Let us return. Or you might want to put something in, something else in as well. Draw me. We will run after thee. Draw me. When I am so unable and so unwilling to come, yet do thou exercise thy power upon my soul. And then I will run. If thou wilt give me grace, if thou wilt exercise power on my unbelieving soul, then I will run. Not just crawl, but run. Let us have some idea of what God is able to do. And notice that he is able to save to the uttermost. Or take these words from chapter 17 of this prophecy. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Heal me. Thou art the great physician. Do we need to say anything more? Putting these things together. Heal me. That's what we should be saying. That's what you need to be saying. That's what I need to be saying. The people of God need further healing. Need further courses of medicine, we might say. You see, the first one, if we're talking about the people of God, we can put it like this. We're speaking in pictures, so to speak. The first course worked. The Lord sent his saving power. The Lord worked by the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't. The way that the Lord works in his healing is not generally that the saved sinner passes straight into eternity, into heaven, and is made perfectly blessed in the one moment of time for the full enjoying of God to all eternity. The Lord is able to do that, and it wasn't very far short of that what the Lord did for the thief on the cross. But, you see, the Lord has many courses of medicine. And the people of God are glad of that. They're glad that they can come to the means of grace and obtain mercy over again. And the work of the Holy Spirit applying the truth and the continuing work of the Spirit in sanctifying their souls. Yes, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. But finally, the question. When there is no balm in Gilead, no shortage of medicine, no shortage of power for Christ's sake and the Holy Spirit to heal sin-sick souls. And when there is this great physician who can work at once in the hearts of sinners all over the world, why are sinners still sick of sin? And especially when sinners are so close to the Savior. Sinners under the word and Christ present. And every time that people gather about his word, Christ present, why are they not healed? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why are there sinners that here this evening whose souls have not been healed? Why? Well, the first answer I will give is this. In the words of the Savior in John chapter 5 at verse 40, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. You are unwilling to come. That's what it means. Will, in the sense of our decision-making capacity, we think our will is to do such and such a thing tonight. Our will was to come to church, however willing, however unwilling we might really have been, we came. But there's this. Coming to church and not willing to come to Christ, there's something wrong. We've got a health problem, a spiritual health problem. We need to go to the physician. Heal me. Heal my will. Heal my heart. Heal my whole soul for the sake of Christ. That's it. That's what we should be asking. Yes. And that's in spite of this. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under its wings, and ye would not again, and you were unwilling. That's the meaning there as well. Christ willing to gather sinners to himself. Yes, making it known. And if you cannot get past that, in this sense, that you have to confess, I am unwilling. I don't want to come to Christ. I have no overwhelming desire to come to Christ. Then, remember that he is the great physician. And cry out in your soul, Lord, make me willing. Make me willing. Make me willing for the sake of Christ. Do not leave me to careless. And if you can, you will not be turned away. Remember the truth. Rest your soul upon it. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But remember the consequences of this unwillingness. And that's a lost eternity. The wicked should be turned into hell. The unbelieving should be turned into hell. The rebellious should be turned into hell. Oh, do not go on in rebellion. Remember the call to repent. Remember the call to believe. Remember the call to come to Christ and ask him to heal you. You see, these days anyway, you don't have doctors standing out their surgery crying out for patients. There's more patients perhaps, certainly in most cases, than they can cope with. But here is Christ. And he's inviting patients to come. He's inviting sinners to come. And they're unwilling. They don't take seriously their spiritual health and how poor it is. They don't take seriously the need of the great physician. They don't come. They will not come to Christ. They will hardly even pray. Or if they say their prayers, is there any feeling in it? Is there any exercise of soul in it? Is there any true desire in it? Well, ask yourself. But realize this, how great your need is, how unwilling sinners are to come to Christ, how unwilling sinners are to flee from the wrath to come. Do not pay attention to the general thought as far as spiritual health is concerned. And that was very prevalent in Jeremiah's time. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Oh, be at peace. Don't worry. Don't worry about your soul. Don't worry about eternity. There's no eternity. Don't worry about sin. Just go your own way. Do what you feel like doing. You've got that freedom. Make full use of it. Don't think about God. There's no creator. Yes. Peace, peace. That's the implication of it all. But there's no peace in the conscience of a sinner in a lost eternity. We should not be at peace in this world if we haven't found reconciliation through the death of Christ, the blood of Christ, which cleanses from all sin. Yes. We're not to be saying peace when there is no peace, when we haven't come through the great Redeemer. Hear the Lord saying that, turn ye, turn ye, why will ye die? Turn to God through Christ. Do not go down to eternal destruction, but come for the sake of Christ, who is crying out to sinners. That's what he is doing here this evening. He sent a message to bring you a message about sin and spiritual ill health and about salvation and a little about the way of salvation. But Christ is saying, come unto me. Do not stay where you are. Do not be careless. Is he not asking? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Be thou our God and our guide forever. Do us good. Turn thou us unto thee, and we shall be turned. Grant us thy blessing. Grant to do wonderful things. Be thou our God and our guide forever. Give us thy blessing. Pour out thy spirit. Be doing us good. Hear us graciously. And love us freely. O grant to work wonderfully among us, making us willing in a day of thy power, making us willing to come to Christ, Open our eyes that we might see. Make us conscious of spiritual disease, of spiritual need, our need of healing for our souls. Ah, Lord, do thou draw us to thyself for the sake of Christ. May we see Christ as the one who is appointed to save sinners, to heal sinners. Give us thy blessing. Wash away our sin. Do us good. Be thou our God and our guide forever. And bless thy cause among us. Bless thy cause connected with us everywhere. Bless thy cause throughout this world. And grant to do wonderful things. Watch us from all our iniquity. Receive us graciously and love us freely. Give us thy blessing. Pardon our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And at verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt from trouble keep me free. Thou with songs of deliverance about shall compass me. I will instruct thee and thee teach the way that thou shalt go. And with mine eye upon thee set, I will direction show. Then be not like the horse or mule, which do not understand, whose mouth lest they come near to thee. A bridle must command, and to the man that wicked is, his sorrows shall abound. But him that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass round. Ye righteous in the Lord be glad, in him do ye rejoice, all ye that upright are in heart. For joy, lift up your voice. These last five verses in Psalm 32, thou art my hiding place.
Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt from trouble keep me. Shall compass round. ye righteous.